friendship family today. I trust that you've heard of Murphy's Law. Based on what I've learned from personal experience, I've learned that the other line always moves faster. And if you don't believe me, just change lines and see what happens, right? I've also learned that unassembled toys take 3 times as long to put together than you planned. And that's likely because the guy who wrote the instructions speaks 3 different languages. English just doesn't happen to be one of them. And then I've learned that the time it takes to find a parking place is always inversely proportional to the amount of time that I have to shop. When I'm in a hurry, there's never a spot, and I find myself looping around trying to find a spot to park. I've also learned that when you return to buy the gift that your husband or wife or child showed you the previous day, it's gone, and it's out of stock. And then the last of Murphy's Laws for Christmas, if you get something in the mail that looks like a fruitcake, chances are it is. And I suggest you mail it to Chad or Shane. 2020 has been a year not to remember. In fact, for a lot of us, it's been an outright nightmare. When you think about the past 10 months, what words come to mind for you? If you think about what we've endured, what we've encountered, what words come to mind? Fear? What else? Social distancing. Unprecedented. What other words? Frustration. Awful. Change. Isolation, boredom. The pandemic, along with political turmoil and social unrest, it has brought anxiety. It has brought heartbreak. It has brought isolation and discord to many. But in the midst of such suffering, we need to experience some joy. Amen? I mean, that's what we need. I believe joy is an incredibly powerful companion during days of difficulty, days of suffering. We've had no problem stumbling onto suffering this year, and the good news is that we can also stumble onto joy. You see, there's no imprisoned mind. There's no heartbreaking time. There's no deafening silence that joy cannot break through. So today, we're going to take a look at God's gift of joy. You see, God has not only provided us the perfect gift in His Son, He has not only provided the gift of eternal life through Jesus, but friend, God wants to give you the gift of incredible joy, a gift that you and I can experience daily. So we're launching a new series today. It's called All I Want for Christmas, and we're going to talk about the themes of joy and peace and hope. Isaiah, he ministered some 700 years before Jesus was born, and he brought a message that contained bad news of judgment, but also the good news of joy and peace and hope. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61, and keep in mind that Isaiah's prophecy, it speaks of Jesus' birth some 700 years before it would come to pass. And as I read this prophecy, I'm going to pause and show you the 3 themes that will make up our sermon emphasis for the remainder of the month. Isaiah 61, beginning in verse 1. Isaiah says in reference to Jesus, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted." That's joy. "He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted." That's peace. "To proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners. To proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." That's hope. "And the day of vengeance of our God. To comfort all who mourn." Church, our focus today is on joy. And Isaiah looks ahead, and he sees a time when glad tidings will be preached to the sad and to the sorrowful. He shares prophecy of a time when good news would be proclaimed to the depressed and the despondent. Like many of us today, God's people in Isaiah's day, they were pummeled with problems. I want you to see that in the midst of their confusion, in the midst of their problems, Isaiah's promise of Christ coming, the coming of Christ, the promise filled them with a longing for something more. They had waited a long time for a special gift from God. Sort of reminds me of the woman. She bought a box of Christmas cards, 50 cards all the same. She was in a hurry to get them out in the mail, and she wanted to beat everybody else, so she quickly went through and addressed her card. She signed everything, got them in the mail. She never really opened the card to see what was inside. She didn't read the message.
And so she had a card left over, and she happened to open up the card, and this is what it said. It said, "This card is just to say that a special gift is on the way." I think throughout the Old Testament, God declares to his people, and he says, this prophecy is just to say that a special gift is on the way. Jesus is coming. Jesus is the special gift. He was the long-anticipated gift of God. Jesus was the promised Redeemer. And so our focus today is on the joy that comes from receiving the special gift of Jesus, a gift that was announced to a group of shepherds in Luke chapter 2. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 2. We're going to fast forward from the time of Isaiah to a hillside outside of Bethlehem. 700 years have elapsed. Now we hear the angel's announcement ringing with the refrain spoken by Isaiah. Luke records for us the angel's announcement in verse 8. It says, "In the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.'" There are four words in our text that really help set the scene. The events that happened to the shepherds back then, I think they're similar to what takes place when someone responds to the Savior today. The first word that sets the scene for the angel's announcement is the word night. According to verse 8, the shepherds were keeping watch over their flock by what? What does it say? By night. Throughout scriptures, night and darkness are often viewed as pictures of the human race apart from Christ. We know that darkness is a symbol of a life that is lived independent of God. And so, church, spiritual darkness, it had covered the earth for years. But with the birth of Christ, Satan's head was about to be crushed. This long, long night was about to come to an end. Instead of deep darkness, instead of a hush from heaven, light is about to appear. And that leads to the second word that sets the scene, and it's the word light. Luke reports that suddenly an angel of the Lord appears in a flash of light. And I can't imagine how bright the glory of the Lord was when it was shining around the shepherds. The picture of light, it represents the Holy Spirit illuminating a life with his convicting work. Reminds me of the prophecy in Isaiah 9, verse 2. It says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." In the Gospels, Jesus often identified himself as the light of the world. He would shine brightly into this world of darkness. And so we have night, light. And then the third word that sets the scene for us is the word fright. This bright light that happened in the middle of the night, it caused the shepherds great fright. Luke explains in verse 9 that the shepherds were terribly frightened. They were completely terrified. They were alarmed. The King James says that they were sore afraid. This week, God reminded me, before I confessed my faith in Christ, how I often fought to turn off the light of the Lord as he convicted me of my need for salvation. For me, I knew the gospel message, and yet I still wrestled with those who shared with me the truth of God's word. For me, sitting in the darkness of my own sin may have been scary, but it was tolerable. But church, let me tell you, when the light of God's holiness began to expose my sin-stained heart, when I realized the depth of my sin and my need to surrender my life to Christ, I repented of my sin, and I trusted Christ as my Lord and my Savior. And then the last word that sets the scene for us is the word all right. After going through this process of night and light and fright, we learn that the shepherds are going to be all right. And they'll be all right because they were comforted by an angel. Notice the words of comfort. The angel said, "Do not be afraid." And the reason these guys were frightened was not because the light was bright. No, they were terrified because angels were often messengers of God's wrath. When an angel showed up, bad news was typically part of the deal. And yet this time, God's message would be different. let's look at the message announced by the angel. Look again in verse 10. Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Let me share with you four simple things about the angel's wonderful announcement. The first is simply this, that it is good news. The angel's announcement involved good news. As the angel appears to the shepherds, they're out just doing their jobs. The first concern of the angel was to calm the shepherds down. Shepherds were terrified. But the reason they didn't have to be afraid was because the angel was about to make an enormous announcement. In verse 10, the angel said, I bring you good news. That phrase means to announce, to declare, to show good news. The angel wasn't delivering a message of God's wrath, but no, he was sent to declare good news. Friend, there's good news at Friendship. Even during this extremely challenging year, we've seen God at work. Think about it, through live streaming our worship services, which is something that we had not pursued up until the pandemic. But now the gospel is being shared in homes and communities around the nation as people tune in and listen and they hear the gospel. Think about your faithfulness in giving as a church. It has allowed us as a ministry to assist families. We kept electricity on for families in our community. We paid water bills to keep water on. A family, a single mom with two or three kids, we've been able to buy groceries so that they have something to eat. We had a gentleman come not too long ago who had a job, but he didn't have gas for his car. And so we were able to put fuel in his car so that he could get to work and get a paycheck and take care of his family. When families within our own congregation have been had a financial need, again, because of your faithfulness this year, because of your faithfulness in giving, we've been able to bless them and help meet a need. Lives have been changed. Lives are continuing to be changed. Men and women and boys and girls, they are in God's Word on a daily basis. Visitors are attending our worship services and they're coming back and they're connecting. They're making a connection. Just a few weeks ago, Friendship prepared 268 Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes. They're going to be sent around the world. Think about that. 268 boys and girls, each one will hear the gospel message because someone here at Friendship took the time to give, to pack a box, and to share the good news with those scattered about. There's plenty of good news, even in a time where we are being inundated with bad news. But I want to point out that good news, the bad news is that we're sinners. The good news is that a Savior has been born. And friend, until you and I understand the depth of our sinfulness, we cannot appreciate the good news of Christmas. We can't appreciate God's amazing grace until we first appreciate the fact that we are spiritually bankrupt before God, that we desperately need Him. Friend, great joy will not come until the good news of the gospel settles in your heart. The good news is that Christ has come to us. It is the best news possible. But look again at the announcement. It involved good news of great joy. Notice again in verse 10, this news is of great joy. That word great in the original language, it means megas. It has the idea of mega joy, the idea of supersized cheerfulness. Friend, this good news is exciting because God is bringing about the solution to your sin problem and to mine. And as a result, the shepherds went from total terror to giant joy. It reminds me in his letter to the Galatians, Paul was addressing a group of believers who had trusted in Christ. They were experiencing the freedom of Christ and the benefits of a relationship with Jesus. And yet, for some reason, they were drifting back to legalism. They were reverting back to their old ways. And the result is that their joy was diminishing. And so Paul asked a very penetrating question. He said, what has happened to all your joy? And church, I think that question needs to be asked of us today. I think that needs to be asked in the church. What has happened to your joy? Billy Sunday once said that the problem is, the trouble with many people is they have just enough religion to make them miserable. Friend, knowing Christ's love, knowing God's plan for us, that ought to produce a supersized joy in our lives. Amen? I mean, that ought to produce joy. In fact, listen, if there's no joy in your relationship with God, then you've got a leak. You've got a problem. You might turn to the person next to you and just ask them, do you have a leak? Because if our lives are filled with the joy of God, it's something that should be visible in the lives of others as they watch us. In Christ, there is joy. And if there's no joy in your life, then something is wrong with your relationship with the Lord. We tend to equate happiness with joy, and yet the two are totally different. They're different ideas. They come from a different source. Happiness comes from the world around me, while joy originates directly from the Spirit of the living God active within me. Happiness is conditioned by, it's often dependent upon what is happening to me. In other words, when people treat me nicely, when things for me are going well, I'm happy. But when things are not going well, then I'm unhappy. But joy is a compelling quality of life. I'm talking about a joy that transcends the delights and the disasters that often dog God's people. Joy is a divine dimension of living that is not shackled by our circumstances. The Hebrew word for joy means to leap, to spin around with pleasure. In the New Testament, the word refers to gladness and celebration. And I think for many of us, it's hard for us to be merry about Christmas right now. After all, people are isolated. Families are fractured. We're stressed with the uncertainties of life right now. And for many, joy seems to be elusive. But friend, understand that no matter how broke, no matter how isolated you are, you still can be joyful because it is a choice to rejoice. Actually, I think it's a command. It's a command that was repeated twice in Philippians 4:4. Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. How do we set our heart on the kind of joy that only Christ brings? Three things. And the first is this: make the choice to recognize God as joyful. Make the choice to recognize God as joyful. Church, we can move forward in our journey towards joy if we understand that our God is not a cruel taskmaster, but as the God of the universe, He has a smile on His face. Now listen to Zephaniah 3:17. I want you to hear how God feels about you. Listen to what the scripture says. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with His love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Did you know that God delights in you? Do you know that when God thinks about you, He breaks out in song? Do you think of God that way? That God is so excited about you that He breaks out in song? The Living Bible paraphrases this verse. It says, is that a joyous choir I hear? No, it is the Lord Himself exulting over you in happy song. Some of us don't view God as joyful, but I think recognizing God as joyful, it will increase the joy in our own lives. And let me add a second, make the choice to receive Jesus as Savior and Lord. If you're not a follower of Christ, then you can't possibly experience lasting joy. The Philippian jailer, Acts 16:34, describes after he had received Christ, listen to what it says. It says, the Philippian jailer was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. So I've got to ask you, is joy really what you want for Christmas? And if it is, then you must turn from your sin and you must receive Jesus as your Savior and Lord. Listen, Christ was born in Bethlehem, but He must also be born in you. You must receive Him in your life. Friend, the truth is that if Jesus was born 1,000 times in Bethlehem and not in me, I'd still be lost. I'd still be without hope. I'd still be without peace and without joy, and I'd be headed for hell. If you've never surrendered your life to the Lord, then you will never experience the joy and peace and hope that Christ brings. So recognize God as joyful. Receive Jesus as Savior and Lord, and then a third decision that will increase your joy is to make the choice to remain close to Jesus. Friend, there is great joy when we are close and connected to Christ. And consequently, there is no joy when we feel distant and cut off from Him. Jesus put it this way in John 15, 10, and 11. He said, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. How many of you have ever done any sailing? Anybody? One of the things I've always marveled at is how the wind can be blowing in one direction and yet a sailboat can be moving in the opposite direction. How does that happen? Well, they tell me that it happens. It all depends on the way that the sail is set. And I know some of you are going through some difficult days. Some in our church family are experiencing some real struggles. And yet I marvel at how even in the midst of difficulty, your lives are still filled with joy. How does that happen? How can that be? It happens because you've chosen to set your sails in a way that increases the joy in your life. It happens because you see Jesus as a joyful Savior. It happens because you are focusing on God and His Word and remaining close to Him. You possess joy because you're telling others the good news. And you have set your heart on the kind of joy that only God can bring into your life. Well, this angel's announcement to the shepherds, it also announced good news of great joy with a global message. Luke explains that this message of good news of great joy, who it was for in verse 10. He says the good news of great joy was intended for all the people. Friend, God's mega message, it was never intended to be for one group of people in one part of the world. No, God's good news of great joy, it is for all people. Can I tell you, that is why we are so passionate about missions at Friendship. It's why we support missionaries. It's why we ask you to give to Lottie Moon and to pray for our missionaries. Because we believe that that is the work of God, and we want to be involved in that. We're passionate about getting the gospel out to those who are scattered about. It's why we encourage you to participate in mission projects. See, one of the best ways to build joy into your life is by talking to others about Jesus. In fact, Philemon 6 says it well. Paul said, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. So I want to encourage you to invite someone. Next Sunday, we're going to be at a Community Christian Academy next Sunday morning. We're going to have one combined worship service instead of doing the two. We'll worship together one service. We'll be scattered out in the bleachers, so there'll be plenty of room. Our choir is going to sing a few songs. They'll be able to scatter out on the gym floor, so we'll have plenty of room to do what we need to do. But you invite somebody to come next week, and the gospel is going to be shared. We're going to share the gospel. So you can be involved in that way. You might be praying about someone that you can invite to attend one of our Christmas Eve services. This year we're going to do one at 3:30. And then a second one at 5 o'clock. And you might invite someone to come and be a part of that. Know that as you do, that the gospel is going to be shared. Together we have the privilege of sharing the good news with great joy. I mean, if you're going to make an impact on people, we need to be filled with the joy of the Lord. Lastly, the angel's announcement involved good news of great joy with a global message that is granted to you. You to notice that this proclamation is personal. Verse 11, the angel said, today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Church, the message of Christmas and its impact on your life and mine is clear. In Christ, your sins can be forgiven. In Christ, your present problems can be managed. In Christ, your future can be guaranteed. But please hear me this morning. Please hear me, without Christ, without a personal confession of faith in Christ, Christmas means nothing. And friend, you will never experience His joy. How do we experience the joy of knowing Christ? Obviously, we can't wait for perfect circumstances because we don't live in a perfect world. If joy is going to work, then it has to work in an imperfect world, right? Because that's where we live. If joy is going to be experienced, it has to be experienced in a broken world. And beloved, that is the message of Christmas. It's what Christmas is all about. The message of Christmas is that God came to this dark and broken world, and He announced that joy can happen. And it can happen in you, and it can happen in me.
Friend, God wants to give you the gift of joy even in an imperfect world. And yet the choice is ultimately up to you. You can choose to be a discouraged person, and there is plenty for us to be discouraged about right now. You can be an angry person, and there is plenty going on around us that would make us angry right now. But I have to tell you that the message of Christmas is that God became flesh. Jesus was born in Bethlehem so that you and I could experience joy. God's gift of joy, it is available to you, but you must receive it. So how do you choose joy? It's not something that's automatic. How do you experience the gift of joy? Look at it this way. If your life were a big map, and there's an arrow that says that you are here, and I don't know what here looks like for you right now. Maybe it's just an ordinary life. Maybe it's a painful life. Maybe it's a life where you feel alone and isolated, but you are here. And if on the other side of the map is the word joy in capital letters, how do I get from where I am to joy? Many years ago on Christmas Day, the famous tightrope walker George Blondin decided that he was going to walk across the Niagara Falls on a tightrope. And so they stretched out a tightrope across the Niagara Falls. The Canadians lined up on one side, the Americans on the American side. And George wasn't just going to walk across the tightrope, but he was going to push a wheelbarrow full of dirt across the Niagara Falls. Everyone knew that one mistake and he would fall off the rope and be killed. So George got his wheelbarrow and he started across the rope, and with great concentration and with balance, he made it to the other side safely. And the crowd went wild. He did it again. He pushed the wheelbarrow back across to the American side, and they exploded with praise. George did it again and again, about 20 times that day, back and forth. On the last trip, he set the wheelbarrow right in front of one of the tourists. And the tourist said, "George, you are incredible. George, I believe that you could do that 100 times without falling. I really believe in you." And you know what Blondin did? He took the wheelbarrow full of dirt and he dumped the dirt out. And he said to that tourist, "Get in and let's go." Friend, I think that's what Christ is saying to you this morning. I think that's what he's saying to us. If you believe in Jesus, if you believe that he came to this earth and he lived a sinless life, if you're convinced that he died for your sin and was raised again victorious over death in the grave, then friend, are you willing to lay it on the line today? Are you willing to place your faith in Christ? Right where you are this morning, you just say to him, "Jesus, I receive the gift of your son Jesus. I choose to turn away from sin and self, and I want to receive you into my life. I want to know your joy, your peace, the hope that comes from Christ. I want to surrender my life to you so that I will follow you the rest of my days." Because, friend, that's what it means to believe in God. And let me assure you, you don't have to understand it all, but you do have to understand that you need Jesus and that you're willing to turn away from sin and self and put your trust in Christ alone. Friend, the gift is Jesus. And I can tell you that he is the only way. The only way to have eternal life and the promise of heaven is through Jesus. The only way to experience real joy is through a personal relationship with a real Jesus. Do you have Jesus today? Maybe the better question is, does Jesus have you? Because I can tell you that he doesn't have you unless you have made a choice to surrender your life to him. So I urge you right where you are, you just call upon him. Ask him to come into your life and to change you. And if you're watching online, just send a message to us. It says, I gave my life to Jesus today. And one of our pastors will reach out to you shortly. We want to provide each one of you the resources that you will need to grow in your relationship with Christ. Friend, salvation is too good to keep to ourselves. Would you share with us your decision to follow Christ? It's important that we believe, but it's also important that we have a place where we belong. I'm talking about a place where we can come and be encouraged, a place where we can come and be equipped. So if God is leading you to be a part of this church family, we would love for you to come and make that connection today. Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank you for your love for us. Lord, sometimes we don't see you as a God who is joyful, a God who sings over us with joy. And yet, that's how your word describes it. Father, right now, life is such a challenge for so many. difficulty after difficulty, challenge after challenge. Lord, we just acknowledge that we need you. Right now, joy seems to be so elusive. And yet we pray that you would fill our lives with real joy from the real Jesus. God, as believers, I pray that as we stay closely connected to you, Lord, that you would help us to set the sails of our life, that we would know your joy, be able to share the gospel with those around us. Lord, just come alongside of us in the midst of our suffering and hurting, and carry us through. God, I lift up those this morning who don't know you as Lord and Savior. Father, they can't know your joy until they know you. So, Father, I pray for your Spirit that you would bring conviction of sin. Lord, that there would be a choice made to surrender, to turn away from sin and to put their trust completely in you. God, I pray that today would be the day of salvation. That those who don't know you would come to know you today, and they would know the joy and the peace and the hope that comes from a relationship with you. God, move this morning. Move in your church. Move in our lives, we pray. It's in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.